Good to see you. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I'm glad that you are here this morning, and I'm excited about some of the stuff we're going to talk about this morning. Just to kind of begin my excitement of the morning, I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you didn't know, like, there's babies being born everywhere around 24 Church, and there is something in the water. So all of you, you know, that are looking out for that, watch out. But the thing that I want to tell you, we've got two babies born, that are going to be born in May and one in June. And then Jason and Kelly, you guys are, when are you guys?
December.
And it's awesome that all this stuff is happening. And on top of that, we're going to need more nursery workers. So if you have interest in helping out in that area, do that. It's just awesome to get to go back there and hold babies and hang out with them. But to add to the mix, we're going to have a kid too in December. And so we're expecting, and we're excited about that. So there'll be Deuce in the house, and it'll be good. So we're hoping to have a boy so that we can not have to make Gracie drive a race car. But anyway, I'm excited about this morning. You know, stories, you know, we talked last week about stories. We're in this series called Story, Confessions from the Church, you know, and let me just remind you, the whole confessions thing. When you're leaving today, when you're leaving, take just a second, if you can, and just go in for a couple of minutes into the cry room. You get to it through the foyer. There's a door out there, and there's a video camera set up. You have an opportunity that you don't have many times to get to do anywhere, much less church or whatever, but you've got an opportunity to go in there and sit in front of the video camera for just a minute or two if you want to, and share what God has done in your life, maybe what part of your story is, maybe about when you came to Christ. That would be awesome. Or how God has changed you, you know, or whatever. You've got parts of your story maybe you would love to just share for a minute. Take an opportunity to do that. We're going to be using that footage later in the series. Don't worry, we'll edit out all the bad stuff and, you know, make you look good, unless it's just really funny and then we might use it. Take opportunity to do that. But the whole story thing. You know, we talked last week about what makes a good story. You know, there's different parts to a story. You've got a plot, you got a climax, but then like the characters, I mean, let's just face it, without good characters, you've got a pitiful story. You know, and we talked last week about, you know, even character development and, you know, some of those things. And, you know, I made mention that, you know, there's sometimes the fine line even just between a hero and a villain is just the fact that the hero doesn't think of himself as better than others. And, you know, that is so much of what Christ has portrayed for us when we see Christ in Scripture, is him putting others before himself, which makes him a pretty good hero. But, you know, on top of that, you know, I mean, you think about all of these things with story and you know, the thing that I see kind of as a pattern, you know, there's lots of movies that come out. You know how you used to, like, every time most movies came out, they were good? I think maybe that was just the 80s, and we just didn't know any better. It was like everything was like Top Gun. But it just seems like there used to be a lot of good stories. And it seems like that the quality of the stories has gone downhill a little bit. You know, and I think some of that is due to the fact that, you know, to make a good story, you have to have morals. There has to be a good and an evil. And I think for our culture, so many of those lines have been crossed that it's so hard for people to even see and understand what the difference is between good and evil anymore. And so, therefore, the stories that we have seen in our culture have kind of declined a bit. You know, and I, there are certain movies, you know, just even here recently, you know, I've gotten to watch a few movies at the house, and thank God for other people that rent movies and want to bring them to our house. You know, we love those people. Sunday nights is a lot of that. But it's one of those things that to make a good story, there has to be morals, there has to be ethics. Otherwise, it just gets boring. You know, for us as people, as just living human beings, you know, our story gets the same way. Our story gets boring the minute that we quit fighting for something. The minute that we are just going to the office and just doing the thing, and there's nothing else to life. We're just going through the motions. And life just gets boring, doesn't it? But the minute that we begin to really fight for something, the minute that we begin to fight against something, maybe even, that we gain ambition, and we talked about that last week, that when we have an ambition to do something, then the story gets good. You know, the question for all of us is, we're kind of going through this series, and we're gonna continue to hear other people's stories. We're gonna hear some of your stories before this series is over with, maybe through the confessional, or maybe live or on video or whatever, but you know, throughout this whole thing, the question you've got to constantly ask yourself is my story a good story? Not this answer, not this question, am I successful? No. Is my story a good story? At the end of the day, when, you know, our life is done, what are they gonna say? What is the story they're gonna tell about our life? Is my life going to make a difference? Is my story going to impact anyone? You know, I'm constantly asking that question about my life, and I'm constantly saying, God, are you using me? Are you going to use me to impact anybody else? And I struggle with that all the time. And there's days that go by where I just go, God, I've been wasteful with this day because you did not get to use me, because I didn't let you use me today to do something in the life of somebody else. We can't, you know, just roll around in that and stay in that and just, you know, kind of be drama queens. We can't do that. We can't allow Satan to do that to us. We've got to fight through that and go, you know what? We are going to change our story. The part of the story that we're talking about today is continuing the idea of redemption. We talked about this a little bit last week, and to be redeemed, to be recovered. Check this out, to be rescued. How's it feel to be rescued? How's it feel to know that somebody cares enough to do something for you with nothing in return, that they'll do whatever it takes? I mean, we see this all the time with law enforcement and firefighters and so many people that do things like that, where they are giving their life, they're willing to do what it takes to rescue us. To be rescued is such a huge thing. You know, there's a lot of Christian lingo, and I'm guilty of using it a lot of times too, because I grew up in church, and you know, I just don't know any better sometimes, and it's just, you know, in my mind I know what I'm saying, but a lot of times other people don't know what I'm saying. You may have not grown up in church. We have a lot of people that are at our church that did not grow up in church. We've got a lot of people at our church that don't even know Jesus Christ as their Savior. By the way, I'm glad that you're here. And you know, through that, we've got to remember kind of how we talk, that we explain things and understand things. You know, there's this term saved, you know, that kind of gets floated around in church life, you know. Oh, have you been saved? You know, or you can say it like some other preachers. Have you been saved, brother? That's kind of Hulk Hogan-ish. I don't know. Especially with the brother. Or you can say it like Joel Osteen, and he's like, have you been saved, friends? You know what I'm talking about? No Joel Osteen, okay? And it's one of those things that we're so used to saying words sometimes like that, that we've almost forgotten ourselves. What does that mean? What does that mean? What, saved from what? We're lost from what? What have you been saved from? What were you lost from? What are you lost from? What do you need to be saved from? I mean, what is it? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's sin. It's the very thing that entraps us in life. It's that thing that happened way back when we see the story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, where they fall and they give in to the temptation of something, and they do the one thing that God asked them not to do, just the one thing. It wasn't like there was like a whole bunch of, you know, like don't do this type stuff, and the one thing God asked them to do, they did it. Why did they do it? You see, sin in of itself, you know, really stems from the fact that sometimes we're trying to take the place of God. We want to be God. Now, we're not thinking about that. We're not like, if I look at that or if I say that to him that way or whatever, I'm going to try to be God. That's what I set out to do today. I'm going to try to be God. That, we're not thinking that. It's not at all what's going through our head, but in essence, that is what we are doing. We're saying, God, I know better than you. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. And that's what Adam did. And that's the whole, the whole tree of knowledge, just the whole thing is like, Satan was looking at them and going, if you'll eat this stuff, you're gonna find out all the stuff that God didn't want you to know, and then you're gonna be just as good as he is. Our life is a struggle of sin. When God created us, his purpose for us was to live in harmony with him. This is like the bottom line of Christianity. And for those of you that are fed up with religion, good for you, because I am too. This is not religion. This is a relationship with somebody. God wants to have a relationship with us. When he created us to have perfect harmony with him. He created us so that we would know who he is. That we would talk back and forth, just like you have a relationship with your best friend, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your whatever, maybe not your dog, but whatever. And of course, what happened? Adam went with Eve, and they kind of jacked that whole thing up, and, it left us with this thing called sin. And see, there's something you need to know about God. God is holy. And now this is, I'll be honest with you, this is not the best definition of holy, but I'm throwing it out there because it's the most easily to explain. And if you think of holy, in definition, easily, it's like being perfect. Now, it's something that we can't really explain. But in our language, infinite, perfect, these are words that we try to use to describe things that we really can't describe. And God is perfect. He's holy. And because he's perfect, because he's holy, he can't hang out with sin. You don't just like catch God, going out clubbing with sin. He's like, hey, you and me, let's go clubbing tonight. Or let's go watch a movie tonight. Or let's, whatever. That's not the way God works. God doesn't hang out with sin. The two cannot be together because he is perfect. He's holy. Sin is the opposite of that. If God was to be with that, then he would not be holy. He would no longer be perfect. It would completely obliterate everything that we understand and know about God and everything that he is built on. For we have sin. So how do we get to hang out with the God that doesn't go clubbing with sin? How does that work? How do we get to go and be with him? How do we get to have this relationship that he created us for to begin with? How does that work? Here's how it works. It works through Jesus Christ. It works through the blood of Christ. There's a scripture in your worship guide, and it's this Galatians 3:13. And it's not written down in the worship guide, but you've got it on the screen here. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us. Rescued us, if you will, okay, from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. You see, God is just. You understand justice. You understand that right and wrong, and like if you do bad, if you do a wrong thing, and you get caught for it, what are they going to do? They're going to punish you. We need to understand that in the beginning, God, the way this was set up was that the punishment for sin is death. We've got certain things in our culture in certain states where if you do a certain thing and you go on trial and you are found guilty for that particular thing, you more than likely will get death every time. I want you to think about that for just a minute because, we're so used to, people getting off of things like that and we're like, that's hard to even fathom for us. But, the beautiful part of this is, although the penalty for sin is death, God is the only one that could do something that could take the place of that penalty. We can't do it on our own. No one can do it for us. You can't be born into the right family. You can't be born looking one certain way. There's nothing you can do to gain that. But we can come into that relationship. And through that passage of scripture and many others, we see that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He became the curse. And in that moment in time, he took on all of our sin. Everything we've ever done wrong, every time we've ever cheated on a test, every time we ever stole something, every time we ever talked bad about somebody, every time we disobeyed God, every time, and this is the kicker to me, every time we broke his heart, he took those things and he put them all on Christ. In that moment in time, he sacrificed his son, something so unimaginable for those of us that are parents, that he would do it for us to understand, I'm doing the very most extreme thing that I possibly can in mankind for you to understand that I love you. Romans 6:6-7 says this. It says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. In fact, you see Jesus refer to this as being born again at times in scripture. And of course, every time he says this, you know, people around him are like, you know, Jesus, what are you talking about, born again? You mean I'm supposed to like go back in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus is like, no, 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 no. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about us relinquishing an old life and saying, I want to start over. And God, I want you to be in charge. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to be the boss. And I'll follow you. You've seen this movie, The Guardian. It's a movie kind of about the Coast Guard. Kevin Costner flick. You know, pretty decent flick, I think, for a Kevin Costner flick. I'm a Field of Dreams fan. Anybody Field of Dreams fans? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. always used to look at cornfields, waiting for Shoeless Joe Jackson to come out. In this flick, The Guardian, He's a Coast Guard guy, and he's kind of like the guy that has set all the records. He's had the most saves, and we're talking about like up in the Bering Sea where you see like, you know, the crab fishermen and the lobster guys doing their thing on the deadliest catch. That's where they're doing their thing, and they're saving guys left and right, you know, and all this stuff. And through that movie, you know, it's very interesting, just some of the things that I learned about, you know, just even watching them and how they work and how they operate, how they train, how they get ready for this. And of course, you know, the big thing here is that when one of these guys falls into freezing water, you know, they're trying to get to them before hypothermia sets in. In fact, I went online and I looked up, hope it was a reliable source, looked up the kind of the stuff on hypothermia and basically the whole cold freezing water thing here. And if you were to fall into freezing water and to stay there, not immediately just like come right back out, it'd probably not be good either way. But if you fell in and you were hanging out there and having to wait on somebody to come and get you, they say that it's under 15 to 45 minutes that you will survive. They say that it's no less than 15 minutes, the maximum is 15 minutes that you'll even be conscious. that hypothermia will set in so fast. There's three stages of hypothermia. You got stage one, and it's kind of the goosebump stage, and that's in not such freezing water. And, you know, stage two and stage three, and it just gets, you know, more and more, you know, just crazy just reading this, you know. And I even read about, like, hypothermia, like people up in the mountains that have gone, you know, skiing or climbing or whatever, and they get into a situation where they're in the freezing cold. And in the freezing cold, a lot of times what will happen is they will stage, when stage three is setting in of hypothermia, there actually is a point there where they begin to feel like they are getting warm. They're getting hot. And it's their brain just like, it's like malfunctioning. Basically, I mean, there's a whole lot of scientific jargon to this, but you can check it out for yourself. But basically, there's this thing called paradoxical undressing. And what that is that basically these folks start feeling hot. They're basically kind of going crazy and just kind of losing it. And they just begin, because they think that they're just burning up, they begin actually taking their clothes off. And I'm just thinking, man, what a job that you would be the guy that, you know, is in charge of making sure that you get to a guy that has fallen in the water within 15 minutes. To be the rescuer. And I think for so many of us, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you may have never understood this before today. But you need to be rescued. And you're going, Chris, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm here to tell you, you are fine. God made you a perfect creation of His. But beyond that, you need a relationship with Him. You need Him to rescue you from sin. Because if you are not rescued from sin, guess what? That passage of Scripture that we just read tells us that you are a slave to it. Do you want to be a slave to sin? I don't think so. You see, when we're a slave to sin, sin begins to take us over. And it's like stage one, stage two, stage three of hypothermia. And the next thing we know, we're doing the exact opposite of everything that we had ever intended to do. Because we're no longer in charge. We've let sin take over. It's controlling our life. And the only rescue hope that we've got is through the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, I've got a couple of friends with me that I'm going to invite to come on up, I'm super excited about them being here. This is I want to introduce to you this morning, Nikki and Bubba. Nikki and Bubba, come on up. I've gotten to know Nikki and Bubba within just the last few months. You guys can come around here. There's a step over here. It's a real nice step too. It's a milk crate. Gotten to know Nikki and Bubba over just the last couple of months, last few months. They were going through quite a bit of stuff in their life. They have a story, if you will. We're gonna talk with them just a little bit about what their story is today. But they, I think, can definitely identify with this whole idea of needing to be rescued. I want to start with just kind of letting them kind of introduce yourself. Tell us just a little bit about who you are. Two switches, sorry.
Check.
You got it.
I'm Bubba Tyler. I'm from Cheatham County, born and raised. 29 years old, construction worker. And I just got out of trouble, out of jail, rehab. I'm glad to be here.
I'm Nikki. I'm a stay-at-home mother of three and also soon to be four, a stepson. And I don't know what to say.
Listen, I met Nikki first. Nikki had been coming. Jake Locker, is Jake in here? He's probably working with kids today. Jake was representing Bubba. Most of you know that Jake's a public defender. But Nikki had come to church because Jake invited you, right? Yes. You kind of felt obligated.
Very obligated.
Because he had done so much for their family. And of course, Jake, you know how Jake is. If you do know Jake, that, you know, he's just one of those guys that he's just open invitation to anybody to come to church with him. And he did that to Nikki and had her feeling a little obligated. So she came, and I met Nikki actually at a student event that we had at our house one night. It was probably, about 3 months ago, something like that, 3 or 4 months ago. And they were there, and that Sunday morning, you'd come for a couple of weeks. And that Sunday morning, you had showed some interest in knowing Christ as your Savior. And we talked that morning, and you were just really uncertain. You were really unsure. And you obviously had some stuff kind of going on. I said, well, hey, are you coming tonight to the thing that the teenagers, because she's got a teenager. And she said, yes. And so we go into the back bedroom during the Bible study with Aaron and Carrie Beth and me and Nikki. And we just go back there and just kind of spend some time talking. Nikki, what you had something for me that night. What did you have for me?
I had a note with three reasons I could not be a Christian. And I really believed with all my heart that I could not be a Christian because of the three things on the note. I tried to find the note. I couldn't.
That's fine. That night she brought this thing with her, and she said right as we started, she said, Chris, before we even start, she said, I want to give you this. And she said, I want you to understand this is what's going to keep me from being a Christian. And I said, what do you mean, Nikki? And she said, well, you know, I mean, these are the things that are, you know, God's not going to let me be a Christian because of these things. And I took the note and I laid it face down on the floor. And I looked at Nikki and I said, you weren't there. you were in jail. I set it face down on the floor and I looked at Nikki and I said, Nikki, I said, I'm going to read this. I do want to read it. I said, but I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. I said, there is nothing on this piece of paper that can keep you from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight.
I was thinking, yeah, right.
and Nikki began to explain to me probably one of the most incredible things I have ever heard in my life. She said to me, she said, Chris, she said, I have, you know, people dream of doing things. Some people dream of being doctors. Some people dream of being lawyers. Some people dream of going to school, whatever. She said, I have dreamt for quite some time that I could be a Christian. And if that right there doesn't tell you how the world perceives us, many times of us, you know, and a lot of times we don't mean to look this way, but a lot of times we put off this persona that you got to be perfect to know Jesus as your Savior. And that's what Nikki was thinking in her heart. And of course, you want to tell them what happened from there?
Can't we pick on Bubba?
we prayed together, didn't we?
We did pray together, and Chris made me realize that I didn't have to fix those things on the letter that I had written by myself. I thought that maybe I could fix the things on the letter and then I could ask God to be in my heart and be with me. But he made me see that it would be a whole lot easier if I asked God to help me out first. And that's what happened.
Yeah. And let God deal with those things in your life himself.
And he has. Everything that I was trying to fix pretty much after I asked God into my life has come really, really, really easy.
Yeah.
There's still things I got to work on, but for the most part, the things on that letter is coming easy.
Absolutely. Now, when we got done talking with Nikki, Nikki began to talk about Bubba. I knew just a little bit about Bubba before that time, but then after this happened, after Nikki's life was changed in an instant, so to speak, she just really began to break down, and she was breaking down with joy for herself, but then also she was breaking down in sorrow for Bubba, which actually turned out that Bubba had been wanting to try to start to straighten things out and get into church, and Nikki was like, I don't want to go to church, and then things happened in life. Bubba, why don't you tell us where you were at and what was going on with you at this moment in time, if you will. Folks kind of know, but go ahead and share with us just a little bit.
I was wanting to get in church about 4 months ago. Then I got in trouble. I was trying to get Nikki to come with me, and I think she knew I was already in trouble and didn't want to come clean with me. And I didn't want to come clean with her about being in trouble. Then I got in jail, and I started going to church, started liking it.
Church in jail.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And started liking it. Told Nikki that when I get out, first Sunday, we're going to church. And here I am, and I like it.
Yeah.
I want to stay involved in it. Hope to get more comfortable with it.
This is Bubba's first Sunday at church. He just got out Tuesday. That's pretty cool, isn't it? As many of you guys can guess, you know, the world is against Bubba right now. He's got family, friends, whoever, just kind of looking at him going, yeah, whatever. You know, sure you want to change. Sure, you know, all those things. As soon as we got done with Nikki that night and we started talking about Bubba, she began to beg me to go see Bubba. And she said, can you please go see Bubba? And I said, well, Jake works magic down there. I'm sure, you know, we can probably make that happen. Well, within the next 2 days, I think it was on Tuesday. That was on a Sunday night on Tuesday, I think it was. Jake got me in, and we went and saw Bubba in jail. And we went and we sat in this little room that they've got that they call the library, that's got like a bunch of romance novels in it, which is pretty interesting to me. Maybe what they say about jail and prison is true. I don't know. But anyway, I digress, man. It's so easy for me to. We went and we sat down at this table. And I got to tell you, I sat down there, and within just a minute, you know, Jake was kind of beginning to talk, and we'd introduced each, you know, had been introduced and everything. And Bubba was sitting there on the table, and he had his hands like this. Bubba's got 15 tattoos. I asked him yesterday how many exactly he's got. He's got 15 tattoos, which we're all about the tattoos, whatever. I don't know if you can see it or not, but right there on this hand from Bubba's former life here, we have the words H-A-T-E, hate. And I was looking at Bubba's hand, and he knew why we were there, and I knew why we were there. And I saw that, and in an instance, I thought to myself, you know, so many people would not be sitting here talking to Bubba today. But I thought to myself, my God, Jesus Christ, is the only thing that can overcome that. And, you know, within the next few minutes, you know, we begin to talk about Christ and begin to talk about, you know, what he could do in Bubba's life. And Bubba, you want to share just anything about that?
When you was down there, I wanted you to come talk to him about being with me while I accept Christ in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after that day, I really felt like he was in my life and I was ready to give my life up to him. And ready to follow the path. I'm just ready for the new Bubba, not the old Bubba.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, for either one of you can chime in on this. What does it feel like to be rescued away from being a slave to sin? What does it feel like to be rescued and recovered from that? What does it feel like? This is so new for you guys.
To me, it feels like I have no weight on my shoulders now. It feels like I'm light. I ain't been pressed down. I feel clean and happy.
Awesome.
For me, I feel happy also. I know that before I was a really nervous person. I let things get to me. I cried, you know, just about every night before I went to bed, worrying about the, you know, anything, bills, or even when I was going to die. Like, my biggest fear is dying early. So even that was one of the things that bothered me. And none of those things have went away, but I'm not scared anymore. Like, I know it's going to work out. And that's the biggest thing for me is I can just feel like I've got a new best friend. And I don't know. I believe that he's going to help us out. And if we keep believing in him, he's going to believe in us.
Awesome. You know, for the both of them, I have to say, you know, I did nothing. I was just hanging out while God was doing something amazing. The both of them were so ready to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Even Bubba, you know, when I got to that table sitting there with Bubba, you know, I kidded with them about this yesterday. I was almost trying to talk you out of it at one point. It was almost like, now, you know, this doesn't just make life easy. And he's like, yeah, I know. And I just want you to know. And I just want you to know. And he said, no, I'm ready. I want this. I want Jesus in my heart. And these two sitting here on the stage today is just completely a God thing. And I wanted you guys to get to share in their story and see that God does redeem us. He does rescue us from just about any place in life that we can imagine. And I want to thank both of you guys for sharing your story this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's an amazing thing when God wants to work and he wants to do something and we will let him do it. And I don't care whether you've been a Christian all your life or you've never come to Christ. God wants to do something in your life. It does not matter who you are or where you came from. He wants to use you. He wants to do something with you. And the bottom line is are you going to let him? Is your story going to be so boring that there is no ambition for Christ? Are you willing to change your story? I want to pray for us. God, thank you so much for allowing us to know you, to have a relationship with you. God, if there is one person here today, Lord, that does not know you, I pray, Lord, that after the service today that they would just come down and want to hang out, find one of us, and seek you out and see what it means to know you as their Savior. God, you can do that work. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would in the lives of those here that do not know who you are today. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for all that you've done in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that what you want to do in the life of anyone, God, I pray, Lord, that you would completely get all the glory for it. God, it's not about us. It's not about 24 Church. God, it's all about you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have. In your name I pray. Amen.